workshop is finally here, and we are all together today. So it is so great to see you. It's great to be together. It's great to have this space to be able to worship together and to enjoy this fall workshop. And I'm going to say a few more things about that, but I first want to go through our schedule. Are you excited about the schedule? Are you, do you want to see the schedule? Okay, it's something to be excited about. But let's run through that really quickly. So we have the welcome and singing and prayer. I do want to thank Dominic for leading us in singing this morning. Appreciate that, brother. You found the Student Center, so that's check that off the list. So here we are. We're going to have a message in just a minute, the power of purpose and connecting with the power of purpose in our lives. We're going to follow that up with a song right here. I'm going to come back up and just run us through some odds and ends, some things that I think are important for us to know and be reminded of. And then we're going to have a quick break. We have bagels and fruit set up in the back. I mean, look at that spread back there. I mean, that is amazing. Make sure you don't touch it yet, okay? There's going to be a time for that. But I do want to thank Mark and Fiona for helping to take care of that. And also Chris and Alejandro for bringing the bagels, the delicious bagels back there. So that'll be around 10:25, and then we're going to have a time for a breakout session. So the power of purpose is going to be talking about purpose in general, more of the theory of purpose in our lives. And then we're going to have some specific breakout classes where we can talk about practicals in different stages of our lives. So right here, we're going to have a marriage and parenting class to talk about purpose and discipleship. That'll be done by Katie and myself. And then Costello 103 and 104, we're going to have a class for campus students and teens, and then a class for the single sisters. Now let me point out where Costello 103 and 104 are, because you're probably not quite familiar with that. So here's a picture of Disneyland, SAC. And so here we are over here in the Student Center. And then right up to the left, this first building, on the left over here is where you're going to find Costello 103, 104. And I have lovely assistants this morning that are going to show us where those are, Naomi and Alyssa. Give it up for Naomi and Alyssa. So they'll be guiding me back through there. So we'll have those breakout classes. And then we're actually going to come back together. We'll have a brief break. And then we're going to have a song led by Mark Persing, who's not here yet, but Mark Persing is also going to be doing the Campus Students and Teens class. And those of you that don't know Mark Persing, he is in the full-time ministry down in New Jersey. He's working with the campus students down there, and so it's going to be great to have Mark here with us. So like I said, we'll have a break. We're going to have a class session here for everybody, purpose in small groups. That's going to be done by Ryan McCullough, so that'll be a great session. So he's going to do about 20 minutes of that, maybe 25 minutes if we want to give him a little extra time. And then we're going to break out into Bible talks. So that session will be led by our Bible talk leaders, and they'll take us through some questions as a follow-up to what Ryan has to share. And then right here, it says Auditorium, Student Center, Efren is going to do a group picture for us at the end. So make sure you stick around for that. So that's what's in store for us today. Any questions or comments on that? Great, everything's crystal clear. Amen. The power of purpose, and the power of purpose in our lives. But I do want to say, of course, there is no power in purpose unless it's a purpose from God. And that's really where the power of purpose comes from in our lives. But I want to thank all of you for being here today. As you think about Saturday morning, as things are kind of getting underway, school is back in session. Many of us just came back from vacation, and probably there are a lot of other things that you wanted to do this morning. But you're here. And we're here together, and so I want to thank you for not only just being here, but being part of what we do here and who we are in the Hudson Valley. I want to get an amen to that. Thank you all so much for being here today. You know, I'm, as I mentioned in the prayer, I'm so grateful to be part of this inspiring and passionate group of disciples. You have given up your lives to take up your life in Christ. And I am so blown away by the way that you carry yourselves in your day-to-day living, just living out your lives as disciples of Jesus. And so I do want to thank you for that as well. I also want to say a special thanks to a few people, the first of which being our core leadership group. So I want our core leaders to stand up, please. So, yes, please stand. I want to talk about our core leaders here for a minute this morning. So the Kennards are part of that group as well. They're in San Diego on their way back. They went out to see Daniel and Corinne out there, and Steve was doing some teaching. But I do want to just mention that they are part of that group, and Katie is part of that group as well. She is on her way. She's, you know, we're working out childcare, but she is on her way. But this is a special group of people. And, you know, Katie and I jumped into the ministry here about a year ago, and so we've been working closely with the core leadership group for about the past year. And we meet on a regular basis, and we talk a lot about how we can make things great here in the Hudson Valley. It's not an individual effort. It is a team effort. And that group is a very special and inspiring group of people. And so I want to thank the core leadership group for who you are, what you do, your patience, and your kindness with me. And again, just who you are. We've been able to do so many great things, and it's due mostly to that group. And I also wanted to mention that they were part of planning this workshop this morning, a huge part of planning this workshop this morning. And so if it's great, it's because of them. If something's wrong, you can blame that on me, and I'm happy to take the credit for that. But I do I can't thank you guys enough for who you are and what you do. So thank you guys. I also want to thank Scott Muscat. So Scott Muscat, Scott was here this morning. I swear he was here this morning, helping us get set up. And he's actually part of a service opportunity right now. So amen. I mean, he's serving, and he'll be back later to participate in the workshop. But I contacted Scott a while ago, and I just said, hey, we're thinking about doing the workshop. What do you think about doing it at Stack? And he was like, absolutely. Actually, he's been trying to have things done here for us, and so he jumped on it right away, got back to me right away and said, yes, we can do it here, and this is how we can have it set up. And so Scott has done a lot of work behind the scenes to make this possible, so I do want to thank Scott for that. He's just a great, great brother. I also want to mention that, you know, he's intimately involved with the Bible talk that takes place here, the campus Bible talk on Thursday nights, in a room on the other side of campus. And so the campus ministry, we met for the first time on Thursday night. It was a small group of us, but we got that Bible talk set off for the fall, and it was a great time together. And that happens because of Scott's efforts. So I do want to just hold up Scott this morning and say a big thanks to him, even though he's not here. But you can thank him and just give him credit for those things. But today, as I mentioned, our theme is purpose. And the title of this class is The Power of Purpose. As we think about the power of purpose, as I mentioned before, there's no real power in purpose unless it's from God. And there's great power in purpose because of who God is. The purpose can be defined as the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. There's a reason for something. That's purpose. And there's a reason for your life. And there's a reason for who we are and what we do here. And sometimes I think it's easy to forget that there is a reason that we exist. There is a reason for our being. And so I want to get down to the very fundamental reason as to why we are here and to who we are. And we can answer the why of our lives. We can find the motivation and the power to move forward. And so that's what this morning's session is about. And so to set the stage for this talk about purpose, I want to tell you a story set in the context of eternity. I want to tell you a story about an eternal God. an eternal God whose very nature is love. That's who God is. And somewhere along the continuum of eternity, the expression of God's loving nature emerged. And it came out through creation, through what God designed and what He made. He made a universe full of worlds, full of stars, full of comets and meteorites. And within this one world in particular, He created so many other things as well. He created land. He created sea. He created animals, and He delighted in His creation. It says that He saw, and when He looked upon what He made, He said, "That's good. That's really good." And then at the height of all of that, at the pinnacle of creation, He made mankind. He made human beings. Not just in any old way, not just in some kind of random way did He make humankind, but in a very special way. He made us in His image. Amen. To be just like God. He gave us a mind. He gave us a heart. He gave man a spirit. He gave man the will and the opportunity to choose, to make decisions. He gave us the opportunity to create, to be like God like that. He gave us an opportunity to reign with Him. And the beautiful thing about that story, I mean, that's beautiful in and of itself, but the beautiful thing about that story is that He made us co-workers with Him, that we could rule and reign and create with Him. And we enjoyed a very special and intimate, perfect relationship with God in the beginning. You see, our purpose from the very beginning has always been to rule and reign with God. In that perfect relationship, God choosing us and us choosing Him. That's how it was. I mean, can you imagine that? We were always to be His representatives here on earth. And that's how it was. That's how it was. Until one day, one very sad and unfortunate day, when man chose otherwise. Man chose something other than God to follow. And when he did that, he broke the relationship with Him and sin entered the world, separating God from man. And one of the things that we forget during that experience, it wasn't just that man messed up. It was that man broke the heart of God when we were separated from Him. We see God didn't just dismiss us and leave us. He said, "I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to make a plan, and I'm going to bring you back." See, the burden of that choice was really on us, but God said, "No, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to fix this situation. My heart is broken, but I want them back." And so through one man, He was creating a nation. Through one man, He created His nation, His people. They were the ones that were to bring mankind back to Him. to restore what was lost. That was their job. That was their duty. They were to bring other nations, other peoples, all throughout the world back to Him. But because of the reality of sin, they fail over and over and over again. God's heart was broken over and over and over again. But God's love kept prevailing over and over and over again. God's love brought prophets. He chose people, man and woman, to speak to His people and say, no, let's get back on track. Let's get back to God. That's where we belong. That's who we are. You see, God still deeply desired to be with man. And it's within that time that God revealed His special plan, His unique plan, the plan to send one man, one prophet, the teacher, the Messiah, His one and only Son, into creation. You see, God Himself was entering the world and take on flesh and become man to finally make it happen once and for all. Amen. And so He came. He came and took on flesh. But the world had no idea who He was. He didn't recognize Him. The true light had finally arrived, but because of sin, people hated Him. People hated Him. They wanted to kill Him. But it was all part of the grand plan, through love, to bring humanity back to Himself. You see, God died on a cross for all of humanity. Took on the sin of the world that we were powerless against, to bring humanity back to Himself so that we could die to our sin. See, God brought His Son back to life and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, who is waiting for us in heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Father has brought us back to Him by the blood of His Son. That if we just decide, if we make that choice to lay down our lives and be united with Him, we can enter back into eternity, back into eternal life. And we can call others to do the same thing. Can I get another amen to that, church? 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The old way of life, the old way of doing things, it's gone. And all that is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He who has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Let that sink in for a minute. We are Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us, working through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin for us, or to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Can I get a hallelujah?
Amen.
Can I get a, that's awesome, God?
That's awesome.
All right, just making sure you're out there still. Yeah, I mean, this is blow away. I mean, we're talking about blow away passages right here. I mean, this is one of those. And I wanted to set things up by reminding you of the story of creation, because this is talking about that. You have to be reminded of what happened, of who we were, what happened, and who we are now. This is about our purpose. This is about the blessing of who we get to be. Sometimes it can feel like a burden, right? Can I get an amen to that too? I mean, let's just keep it real. Sometimes it can feel like a burden. But we have to be reminded, and myself included, of the gift of the identity and purpose of being united with Christ. Paul was talking to the church in Corinth here, right? And he's saying, hey, guys, and hey, gals. I don't say gals too often. I just, you know, I figured I'd throw that in there. Guys, gals, women, if you prefer. Women. We have to remember who we are. That's what he was saying to the church in Corinth. I mean, if you go back and look at 1 Corinthians, I mean, it's almost like he spent the whole book correct. You got to change this, you got to change that. And that was necessary. Right? And we need that sometimes in our lives. And then he gets to this section here, and he's like, look, give that stuff up. The old life is gone. Look who we have. Look who we are. We are in Christ. We are the new creation. What God had always intended from the very beginning. And we only are that through Him, Jesus Christ. The old life, he's telling them, the old way, the old self is gone. The new life has come in Jesus Christ. He's saying, remember, we have laid down our lives. Everything that we thought we were has been laid down. And now we've taken up eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling the church in Corinth. God, our loving Father, has done this. Right? And we need to remember that about God.
Yes.
Over and over and over again. That's what kind of God he is. It's not about you're not doing this and you're not doing that. You're not good enough here. You're not good enough with this. No, the loving Father has brought us back to him. Sin, he's saying, had entered the world. And we took that on when we chose something other than God. And that separated us from our Creator, our Father. And it's now washed away.
Amen.
It's washed away. It's gone. What a gift. What a grace. What a blessing. It's not a burden. It's really not a burden. It's a blessing. And he was reminding them of that blessing. And so because of that, he's reminding the church in Corinth, they have a message. They have a purpose. They have a story to share. It's the story of God. It's the story of all of us. It's the story of the church in Corinth, the early church. It's the story of Christians all throughout history, and it's the story story of his son. And it's not just for us, church. It's not for us to just get together and have a fall workshop and talk about who we are and what we have. It's about everybody else around us too. And we need to remember that. And then I love this part right here. I mean, I love all of it, right? We love all of it. It's all good. But then Paul says that because of that reality, we have a very special and unique identity. Christ's ambassadors. You are Christ's ambassadors. You know, in the first century, an ambassador was someone who administered a province on behalf of the emperor himself. That means that an ambassador was someone who had a direct commission from the emperor. And so Paul regarded himself as being commissioned by Jesus Christ himself for the work of the church. And he's letting the church in Corinth know, this is who you are. You are an ambassador for Christ. He's telling them you have been commissioned by Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
To represent him in this dark and cold world. So what do we do? What do we do with that? Two things. Be reconciled to God. Be brought back to God. And that doesn't just happen when we choose Christ. It's a continual process of going back to God over and over again, becoming more and more like Christ. And we help others do the same thing.
Amen, right?
That's our purpose.
Yes.
That's our role. Remember, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's just who you are. Remember that, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But when we lose that purpose, when we forget that, we lose our identity. We forget who we are. Our light gets put under a bowl and we lose our saltiness. And what happens to salt when it loses its saltiness? It gets thrown out and trampled underfoot. So I have a question for us today. What happened? What happened? Somewhere along the way, we took our eyes off the ball. You see, for many of us, when we first became disciples of Jesus, we got so fired up and so passionate and zealous about doing anything, whatever it took. We wanted to be close to God, and we wanted to bring anybody else around us into that purpose, into that blessing. We would do anything, be anything, say anything to anybody. We were reckless for God. Reckless for God. Now, some of that was immaturity, right? Amen to that. Sometimes we can, when we're new in our life as disciples, so, you know, some of the things that we can do can be zeal without knowledge, if you will. Maybe if we were much younger, maybe that was due to an underdeveloped frontal lobe, but amen. But let's lose the immaturity and hold on to the zeal.
Yes.
Yes.
What happened? Who or what stole your focus? You know, sometimes I think we're more afraid of being different than the world than we are of losing our saltiness and being trampled underfoot. We need to get back to the things that we did at first. And the reality is that we can, with God's help, imagine what we could do with the same zeal, but more maturity and focus. There is so much potential in this region. There's so much potential here in the Hudson Valley. There's so much that Jesus wants to do through us, so much wisdom and experience and youthfulness and energy that together Christ can do so much through us. We have a great purpose here in the Hudson Valley.
Amen.
You know, having purpose is so important in life. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
And I've been interested in purpose in life for a long time anyway. And when I went to work on my master's degree at Ball State University, I wanted to study spirituality, but I looked at it from a health standpoint. And in the health world, spirituality is often defined as purpose and meaning in life. And so I was interested and the connection between a purpose, a person's sense of purpose and meaning in life, and their health outcomes, and their overall well-being. And so, here are some of the things that I came across. Some of you may be aware of these findings, such as when a person has a greater sense of meaning and purpose in life, they tend to have less stress, improved coping strategies, better health-promoting behaviors, and better overall physical and mental health. And so the research project that I worked on specifically looked at college students, their sense of meaning and purpose in life, and how that correlated with how much drinking they did, how much alcohol consumption took place in their lives. And so what I found was, which is, you know, probably pretty obvious to those of us in the room, what I found was that the higher that these college students scored on this measure of purpose and meaning in life, the less alcohol they drank, and the less likely they were to engage in binge drinking. And so while I was doing some of the reading on that topic, I came across the work of Dr. Viktor Frankl. Some of you may be familiar with Dr. Viktor Frankl. So Viktor Frankl was an Austrian neurologist and psychiatrist. So that's how many people know him. But he was also a concentration camp survivor. And he had become a psychiatrist and was working on a project at the time before he went into the concentration camps on this manuscript entitled The Doctor and the Soul. And so it was about purpose and meaning in life. And so he went into the concentration camps. He was separated from his entire family. His wife, he was newly married, but he was separated from her. He went into the concentration camps. The Nazis found his manuscript and destroyed it. And so his time in the concentration camps were spent reconstructing his manuscript on pieces of toilet paper. And he, you know, he hid those. And so that was part of his purpose in being there. But one of his observations while being in the concentration camps was that there was this distinction between those that survived and those that didn't survive the concentration camps. And the difference, the distinguishing factor, was that those that survived were more likely to have a greater sense of meaning and purpose in their lives. Now, I can't connect with the realities of being in a concentration camp. But I can connect with the power of purpose and meaning in life. And so Viktor Frankl went on to create a whole line of therapy or a whole approach to psychiatry known as logotherapy. And it was all based on treating people and helping people find meaning and purpose in their lives. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And this is one of the quotes from his book. Everyone has his or her own specific vocation or mission in life. Everyone must carry out a concrete assignment that demands fulfillment. Therein, he cannot be replaced, nor can his life be repeated. Thus, everyone's task is unique as his specific opportunity to implement it. So what? So what do we do with this? What do we make of this? You see, we have an eternal purpose. It's not just some purpose that we construct with our own minds. It's an eternal purpose that has been given to us and created by the eternal God. You see, God created man. Man has gone astray and now suffers the consequences of that wandering. But God, through Jesus Christ, is bringing each person back to himself. You have responded to that call. You have laid it down. You are a new creation, forgiven, made clean, beloved, and full of the unimaginable grace of God. That is who you are. And so now you and we have a new purpose as a new creation. has called you to be with him eternally. Eternally.
Right.
And help those people that God has positioned you to uniquely influence. Right? There are people in your lives, there are people here in the Hudson Valley that we are uniquely positioned to reach. We live an unrepeatable life. No one else can live your life but you. You are uniquely designed and created. And we, as a Hudson Valley church, are a uniquely created church. A uniquely created body. We are in a place that only we can really influence God here, or for God here in the Hudson Valley. So we have some work to do. Can I get an amen to that? That's exciting. That's a blessing. And so I want to present to you and put before you some goals for our region. Some goals for us for the fall, moving into December. And I broke these down by overall individual goals, one another relationships, small groups, and then the body, something specific for us as a church. So let's take a look at these goals. So individual, each disciple being intentional about their spiritual growth. Spiritual growth does not just happen on its own. Right? We have to be intentional about that. So every one of us walking, daily walking closer with God. One another relationships. Disciples consistently. Okay, consistently. We can't just, I mean, we can, but I don't want us to. Just randomly get together with people from time to time. It's got to be consistent. It's got to be truthful. We've got to point things out in love to help each other to grow. And encouragingly. We've got to be encouraging. Okay, the Bible talks about encouraging one another daily. Daily. And each young person being connected with a mentor. By young person, I'm talking about our teens, our preteens, and our young teens. And I want all of our children to be connected with mentors, but I'm specifically thinking about them. We have to be a community of believers. It takes more than just one other relationship besides their parents. And the more, the better. So let's wrap our arms around our young people. Small groups. Disciples sharing the gospel with someone this fall. And let me explain that a little bit more closely. Often we think of that as an individual effort. And we have our individual place in that. But we do that together.
Yes.
We do that in community. We're more effective when we do that together.
Amen.
So I want everyone to be sharing the gospel with someone this fall as a group in these small groups. And so that includes, sharing our faith. That includes studying the Bible with people. And notice that I didn't put a goal up there about baptisms. I think if we do this, if we're serious about that, if we make that our aim and our focus, to love, to share the gospel, if we have compassion on people, if we just want to help people and influence, those things will come.
Yes. That's right.
This is the goal. This is the goal. And then the body. Maintaining the body of Christ. Being a family. Holding on to each other. And then being a light in the Hudson Valley. And I know that it's not really a smart goal, right? Specific, measurable, achievable, I know it's not that. But I want us to think about how we can be a light where we are. How can we together be an influence in the Hudson Valley.
Amen.
So let's envision together. Let's reimagine our purpose in God. And remember that we gave our lives to that. Let's do that again. Let's recommit our lives to what we've already decided to do. It's the only purpose worth living for. I'm going to close with Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, according to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's sing a song and then we'll continue on with our...
Amen, church. Let's stand and sing a last song.